Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your hosts, Clara Jackson and Laura Yamin, will share their favorite book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for the next one, then join us. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to have you back. So let's introduce ourselves.
Hi, thanks, Laura. I am Clara. I am a big reader. I love to read, to write, and I am all things books.
Yes, you are. And you have a ton of books in your house, which is amazing.
Yes, I do.
I'm Laura, and I'm currently obsessed with historical fiction, so I shall be talking a lot about it this week. So now we're going to talk about the books that we've recently read, currently, and we're currently reading. So, Clara, you finished Severance by Ling Ma. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, I did. It's actually Ling Ma, and I loved it. So the books I'm recommending this month are all zombie related. I know that it is not yet October, although folks may listen to this podcast in October. Mm-hmm. But I just was drawn to her book. So it's called Severance. I think it might be her first book. I'm not 100% sure on that. I should have looked that up. But it's, so I love zombie genre. I love zombie books. I love The Walking Dead. I mean, I love all of it. And so I was excited when I saw this book because I like to see the different interpretations of this apocalyptic scenario that zombies give us. Mm-hmm. And so her book in particular, so first of all, the cover I think is Millennial Pink, which okay. I love. Because it's, I think she's a millennial. I guess that's kind of how they advertise the book, is about a millennial in the workforce, in the middle of this apocalypse. So essentially, Candace Chen is a first generation, American, and her family immigrated here from China. And she has a very, very, you know, same day-to-day life, and she likes it that way. It's very routine, and everything happens the same way every day. She goes to her job, she goes to her boyfriend's house in the basement, and they watch movies, and that's kind of what her life is. Her job, she works for a publishing company that does special publishing, like book covers that are unique and that kind of stuff. So she works in the Bible department, and she's you know, working with companies to get their Bibles published. So she goes to outsource groups in China to get the book made. And she's living her life, going, doing her job, and this fever comes out of China. And so they, when you catch the fever, it's called being fevered, right? Mm-hmm. And she doesn't even really notice that everyone around her is becoming fever because she's just so routine. She doesn't really go outside of her normal, you know, path every day. So she slowly but surely, the people around her start to disappear. Her boyfriend is like, I'm leaving the city. Come with me. She doesn't want to come. And sorry, they live in New York. She doesn't want to leave. She just wants to stick to her routine. So at a certain point, her company invites her to be one of the few people to remain working in the office, and they will give her a large sum of money at a specific date if she does this, because they're all getting the hell out, right? So she works in the office, and she keeps going to work. She keeps doing her job, and then slowly but surely, most of the, you know, there's a few other people that stay, and then they stop coming to work, and she stopped getting emails from the head for work. So, you know, it can be days and days or weeks, and then eventually nothing that she's hearing from these people. And then she finally, and in that time, she decides to go out and take pictures of the abandoned spaces in New York, right? And so she starts a blog called, I think it's called Ghost New York, something like that, that she's sending out to whoever's left in the world. At any rate, there's a particular moment where she's contacting one of the vendors in China, and, you know, the world is ending, okay? And she contacts a vendor in China and says, you know, something to the effect, hey, we haven't heard from you. We really need to get these Bibles done, and we don't want you to miss out on a great opportunity. And this guy writes back, and he's very diplomatic, but basically, like, you know, we're not going to be able to move forward with this, right? So she knows that this is because everyone is fevered, but she feels like she has to do her job. And so she writes back and, you know, tells him he's going to miss an opportunity and blah, blah, blah. And he writes her back and he says, I'm going to be quite frank with you. You need to go be with your family and get the hell out of here. Right. So anyway, that prompts her to ultimately leave New York. And she falls in with a group that's led by a guy named Bob from the IT department somewhere. And he has these folks believing in a sanctuary called the facility. And so he's leading them to the sanctuary. And he has all of these very specific rules that people have to follow. And it's sort of this religious undertones. And he leads them to this facility. I can't remember where the state where it is. But anyway, so I'm not going to go too much beyond that in terms of what happened. But what I love about this book are the themes that are prevalent. So her parents, I should have mentioned, her parents passed away prior to all of this happening. Okay. So so she doesn't really have any family. And like I said, her boyfriend left. So she's very much alone in the world. And she doesn't seem bothered by that too much. So first of all, I was kind of interested in that. Not that I want to not have my family or friends around, but I'm definitely a person who enjoys kind of looking at the world when no one is around, if that makes sense. Like, I like going out at night when no one is around and just kind of walking around. And I don't know, it's weird, but it's just something that I'm kind of drawn to. There are all these themes in the story, though. I mean, there are themes about immigration, what capitalism does to people, the hypocrisy of capitalism, the routineness. I mean, I think it resonates for anyone. I mean, they kind of talk about this book being for millennials, but it's really, if I think back to my very first job, full-time job, even though it was a fun job, I remember thinking, is this the rest of my life? Just doing this over and over and over again? And so I should say, one thing that I should say about the fever, these zombies, is that unlike other zombie books, the way that they're zombified is that they, you know, they just repeat the same thing over and over and over again as they degrade. So like an example would be a mom, she just keeps cooking at the stove, even though she's throwing in like molded food and eventually no food. And she just keeps cooking. And there's like a kid and a dad sitting at the table and they just keep eating like molded food and then no food. Like you seem to, the fever seems to have you just repeat and repeat and repeat. And you don't, you're not there anymore, right? You don't recognize anybody. You're gone, but your body is just doing the same thing over and over again. So you can tell that one of the big things contrasted with Candace really doing the same thing over and over and over again, and that routineness. So for anybody who is feeling like, I just want to do something different, I just don't feel like I'm living, you know, it's kind of that concept. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, people are drawn to apocalyptic things to begin with, like stories and movies and these zombie things. So, but I just found Severance just fascinating all the way around. I mean, even the title, severance, it's so rich with just one word, because it's severing, right? Like severing all of your relationships and everyone is gone. Severing your addiction to the routine. Severance, like the money you get from working really hard at a job and then it's just gone, right? So there's just so much that's loaded in the book, and I really, really enjoyed reading it. There's some cool, without giving too much away, you know, I talked to you about the capitalism component. So when she's talking to one of the vendors earlier about, or sorry, the people who want the Bible made, and she's telling them that they have to find a new facility in China to make them because the material is killing the workers in China. And the people with the Bibles are like, well, can't you find another facility that will use that material? Because we don't want to pay any more money. So you can kind of see pretty on-the-nose statement about, we don't really care. I mean, it's the Bible, and we really don't care as long as we save money, right? What it's doing to people, right? So it's just things like that. And then, you know, the fever comes from China, so there's a little bit of that, I would assume, intended made in China. It's like the last thing made in China, because we use their markets to not pay people to make all of our products in the United States, right? So that ultimately China sent a disease that killed us. But it just was such a good book, and I really, really enjoyed reading it. I actually want to reread it and go back and look at more of the themes. And the way it ended, it's an interesting ending, and I won't say more than that, but it is a pleasantly, surprisingly good book to read. That's what I'll say.
I love it.
Yep. So that's Severance. So going along with that theme, even though I haven't actually read these recently, I've read them a while ago, and they're not new books, but in that theme, I thought I would recommend a couple of books if you're interested in this genre. The first one is World War Z. Now, I know that there's the Brad Pitt movie of World War Z, but I am specifically talking about the book by Max Brooks, and it is very different from the movie. What I like about the way he wrote that book is he did a lot of research into it. You can tell he has such an attention to detail. And he explores the zombie apocalypse in all these different cultures and all these different scenarios. And, you know, which is often the case with zombie genre books. It's not really about the zombies that kill you. It's about what people do and the things that we do to bring the end to ourselves, whether that be to the environment, to each other, et cetera. And so I think if you even ever kind of read why Max Brooks writes books like this, because he has another one that's about how to survive the zombie apocalypse, it's not a plot-driven, neither of them are a plot-driven book.
Okay.
How to Survive is a guidebook, but the World War Z book, it's really just talking about what happened after World War Z. So it just, you drop into one place and then you drop into another place. And there's no overriding plot or end of story. And that's okay, because it's absolutely fascinating to read how he imagines these things. And he really, researches epidemics, you know, what happens in the aftermath of terrible situations and how people survive and why people don't survive. And so I find it fascinating. Now, I mean, he is an American, you know, he's, I think, a white guy. So he's writing about all these different cultures and people surviving. And so you always have to know that that's a lens you're looking through, but it seems very well researched, and I definitely enjoyed reading it. I think people will find it fascinating. And if World War Z, the movie, turns you off, don't worry, because this book is really good and has very little to do with what that movie was.
I love it.
Yeah. So then the last book that I'll recommend is called Zone One by Colson Whitehead.
Okay.
He is most well known for his recent book, The Underground Railroad, and he won a Pulitzer for it and lots of recognition. He wrote Zone One a few years ago after a dream that he had house guests over, and he wasn't feeling well, and he kind of secluded himself in his room and went to bed, and he had a dream, and in the dream he had woken up and wanted to go out into the living room. He had dreamed about zombies and wanted to go out into the living room. And he's like, oh, I don't know if they swept them of the straggling zombies. So that gave him an idea to write this book, Zone One. It takes place in New York City, in the, you know, lower end of New York City, kind of the financial district area, Chinatown area. And it's just 3 days. It's the story of over 3 days of this guy whose name is Mark Spitz. That's not his real name. You never actually find out his real name, but you do find out why he's called Mark Spitz, which I won't get into. But he's with a group of people that is charged with going in and sweeping any straggling zombies after this apocalyptic event. And similarly, I cannot speak to Candace Chen's novel, there are like rabid zombies that are eating people, and that is in there, but that's not really the way the book is written. They have one of the first scenes, I think, in the book, they're sweeping an office building. And the way he describes these office workers that have become zombies, and they're just repeating the same task, keep bumping into the copier, and, you know, this kind of repetitive routineness. So there are zombies that are rabid, and then there are these zombies that just do the same thing over and over, and they move very slowly. Over the 3 days, there's, you know, you get a little bit of flashback to the life before and Mark's life before, but a lot of it is really looking at New York, New York City, through the eyes of this apocalyptic event. And yet, in so many ways, New York is just the same as it ever was. Like, I can't describe it. You really have to read it. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people might not like this book. Colson Whitehead is a literary writer. He does amazing things with the word, but it is really a rich, challenging read. Some people will not understand. I don't mean that to be rude. Like, they're expecting to see like people being torn apart, or, you know, the things you expect in a zombie novel. That's not how he's writing in this book. But I think that if you give it a chance, you'll really, really enjoy it. It's a very melancholy story. And it also doesn't have a true driving plot. There is a plot, but that's not what you're on the ride for, if that makes sense. You're on the ride for the way he tells the story, the way he looks at New York, the way he looks at the mundane in our lives, and uses this lens of an apocalypse to kind of look at it. So there are similarities in these three books and differences, but they are all so smart. And I know that the genre of zombies is kind of, people think it's kind of played out, and it's, you know, everyone's on the bandwagon now. But if you never liked zombies, I feel like these three books are fascinating regardless and worth a read.
So this is a smart zombie genre.
Yes. Now let me just say, I love all zombie things, so I'm not a snob about this, but this is, if you don't like zombies, you can still read these books and enjoy them.
Okay. I love it. I may pick it up. I may pick up Severance. I think that's the one that I'm interested in picking up.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. I will be really interested to see what you think about it. Well, what about you? What have you been reading?
So I've been reading historical fiction, I think, for this past month. I read about 13 books, but for the most part, the theme has been historical fiction. Which is a brand new to me genre. I started reading historical fiction, I think, in July. with one or two books, and then I was like, oh, let me give this a try. I kind of like this genre. So I picked up quite a few of them. So the first book is an art that I got from Valentine. It's Stacey Jones and the Six, and it's Taylor Jenkins Reid's new book. And it comes out in March. So I'm sorry to tell you, but you have to wait till it gets out. It's really good. The story is basically, it's kind of like, it's a long-form Rolling Stones interview about this rise and fame and breakup of this band of the Six and Stacey Jones. So it's set in the 1970s. It's about the world of sex, drugs, rock and roll. And there's a romance, but there is not a romance. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain how it's rich it is. But the only thing I can tell you, it's the characters are so well developed, even though it's done through interview format. So you're kind of like, it's a format that's different, that you're just reading an interview, listening to a bit of transcript from one interview to the other. But the characters, their growth throughout the process is amazing. And the way the band breaks up, it's like, it's kind of how it unravels. There's a twist of the author, who's the author. So I really enjoy this book a lot. I'm definitely buying the book. So that's one thing that typically I don't buy ARCs after I read them. Like, I don't want to reread this again, but I really want to have a finished copy of this book. That's how good it was.
Wow.
Yeah. So the next one is The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna, which has been around for years and has a ton of reviews. And I owned it. I've had the Kindle version, I think, since 2016. I think the book came out in 2015. It's set in the World War II. It's about two sisters, the French Resistance Movement. So I was basically walk through the whole World War II. It starts in 1939 and it just goes all the way till after the fact. And it's narrated by one sister, but you don't know which sister it is. And each sister has their own set of how they express the war. So one was like a stay-at-home mom who literally had to kind of like endure all the hardships of, like, you know, the Nazi occupation, like the not enough food, not enough things, her best friend being sent off to concentration camp, having all these different things that happen. And the other sister is a rebel, so she goes against the Nazi occupation, so she helps kind of like get all the British Air Force, you know, all the soldiers who were just like kind of like lingering around. She helps them escape from Nazi occupied France through the Pyrenees in Spain. So, and they both have their own story, and so it's, you walk through the whole war. So it was a really great story. It just made a huge impact. But I will be honest, it was a tough book to read. Like, that one, I was like, I was not feeling it. And I, you know, I ended up basically having to read a synopsis of the book because I was like, I want to know what's going to happen. I want to be aware, be warned if I'm going to be crying. I didn't cry, it's, I think, because I was warned of what events were going to happen. But I think it was a really powerful story. So if you like World War II, I think this is a really great story to read.
So the reason it was hard is the actual things that happened.
Yeah, okay. It's like war. It's literally, felt like I was in war for a whole day. I read it on Labor Day, and I was like, I feel like I'm just in France, and I'm like, oh, I'm just looking out for the Nazis. Are they checking on me? Are they telling me I need to go and get rations of food? Or are they going to send my friends to concentration camp? Or do you need to wear the yellow stars and all the different things? Like, how do I get out of it? I felt like I was just in war. That's how I felt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that must be exceptional writing then.
Yeah, you really are transported to France, and you get to see the whole experience of war, of what World War II, you know, impact their life. And what impacted most was, you know, how they, aftermath of the war, how they want to forget about it. They didn't want to remember. And that's how tough it was. And I was like, I really felt for that. It was like, you know, that whole period of time growing up and just, you know, living through the war and just being like, I don't want to deal with this at all. It's understandable. At the same time, you don't want to forget, too, because you don't want to have it again.
Right. I have that book. I haven't read it yet. You're making me, I need to get it out and read it.
It's really good. So I really want to read The Great Alone, which is her new book. It's about Alaska survival. So I own it. So I think I'm going to try to read it next month. That's one thing. You know, I really like her writing. She can transport you to a different place. I think her writing is beautiful. And it's relatable too.
Oh yeah. I hope you do. Cause I'd like to hear about it. I've seen that book. I've thought about buying it so many times that I haven't taken the plunge yet. So I'll wait to hear your review.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to read it next month. I'm going to make the commitment in this podcast, and I'm going to read The Great Alone and let you all about it.
Okay.
So the next book is Brenda Crawdaugh's Thing, and I emailed you about this book. So this is Reese Witherspoon's September Book Club pick of the month, and it was amazing. So here's my thing with Reese Witherspoon. I really like her picks for the most part. I like pretty much all of them except Still Lives, which was August pick. I really didn't like that book, but so for the most part, if Reese basically says I like this book, I'm probably gonna read it. I'm probably gonna like it. So that's where I came from. And I kept seeing it in Bookstagram showing up, like people were raving about it. I was like, you know, have some good reviews, let me see what it's all about. And to be honest, I didn't think it was I'm gonna like it. But I was like, let me see. Because it's the author is a nature writer, so she's a scientist who does a lot of nature writing, and so I was like, it's set in the 1960s in North Carolina in the marshes. I'm like, what's this book's gonna be an impact? And to be honest, it was the biggest surprise for me. So the story is set by Kaya, who at 6 years old, her mom leaves her. And then all of a sudden, all her siblings leave her behind. So she's left with her alcoholic father at 6 years old. And basically, with little money, she's living in a shack with no running water, no electricity. And she's told, like, she needs to figure out how to get food. She needs to figure out, like, how to actually do things, you know, how to cook, how to go to the store. She doesn't have shoes. She doesn't have anything. It's, like, total poverty. And in the town, they make fun of her because she's, like, a marsh girl. She's, like, she doesn't have anything. So her father leaves her at 10. And so at that point, she had to figure out on her own, like, how she's going to bring food to a table, how she's going to feed herself, and she's going to be present. She only went to school for one day. And it was the only reason why she went to school was because they told her there was going to be food there. So they made fun of her. And so she's like, I'm not going back. So she escaped the truant officer. She's like, kind of like makes do. And she actually like started selling. She started finding mussels and then selling them to a color man, Jumpin, who basically took her under her wing. And this is the 1960s. So this is like segregation, North Carolina. So it's not like, you know, it's totally this is not a common occurrence. But they start taking care of her and she started painting different nature, and she started to explore the marshes. And so one boy teaches her how to read and write around the age of 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And she ended up like diving into reading about biology, about the science and nature. And she ended up, the boy actually, they fall in love. And the boy comes back and tells her he leaves her, and she's like, everyone kept leaving her. So she has a lot of issues. But he comes back and tells her, why don't you sell all these things to the publisher? So she basically got a publishing deal. And that's how she ended up like owning the deed of her house, ended up like putting electricity, putting running water. This is in the age of 18. So we see her childhood, like basically living in ultra poverty and then doing that. And then she starts dating the quarterback. And then a few years later, around the same time, there's a dual timeline. So there's a timeline about a murder mystery, a courtroom drama. So the quarterback is killed and we don't know who killed him. So we have a murder. She is accused of killing him. And so there's a courtroom drama around that. And then it resolves itself, but you're still with the mystery of who killed the quarterback. And the story was really well written. It was one of the stories where it just immersed. And I love the fact that Kaya, like, literally had nothing. And she was able to make a name for herself. She was able to kind of, like, really take whatever she was given and make something out of it. Even when she was in jail, because she got put in jail because of the murder mystery, she was still, like, present. She was still, like, you know, taking charge of the situation. And it was really powerful. And I felt transported to the marshes. Like, I've never been to North Carolina, the marshes in North Carolina. And you get to feel, like, you get a feel of the nature, the birds, the plants, the seeds, the sea, and all the different, the swamp, and all the different things, and how it all unravels. But it's a really great story to read.
It sounds really good.
Yeah, yeah, that was a really good book. I was like, I felt for her. I was like, you know, 6 years old and, like, had nothing and just been given a dollar and be like, go buy some food. And she's like, I don't know how to buy food, you know. But she makes it do.
Do you know why did Reese give a reason for choosing that book this month?
She said that it transported her to a new story and that she didn't want to finish the book. Which is true. I didn't want to finish the book. Like, I literally was like, I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know more. And we get to see Kaya's whole life. We get to see her from childhood to death. So we get a whole sense of the life of it. So there's not going to be a follow-up book. But you still want to search. Like, it's so rich. So you just want to have more. Like, you want to expand it more.
Cool.
Yeah. So this was a good pick. So I'm looking forward to next month's pick, and hopefully it'll be as good as this one. So the next book is The Huntress by Kate Quinn. And this is an arc, and it comes out in February. And I would say skip it unless they do some changes for this arc. So the book is about 600 pages long. So it's a fairly long book. And it's set in three points of view. And it's about this woman who is a Nazi huntress. So she was in Nazi Germany, and she killed kids. She killed Jewish kids. She fed them and then killed them, and then killed another prisoner of war. And one woman escaped from her. And so we follow the woman who escaped from her, who was a night witch, which was a group of women who flew. Pilot who flew war pilots, war planes in Russia during the war. There were quite a few, but that's the only group of women who just flew, you know, during the war. And then we follow the brother of the prisoner of war, who is a Nazi hunter. So he hunts people who were Nazi generals or commanders, and put them in trial for against crimes against humanity. And then we follow Jordan, who happens to be the stepdaughter of the Nazi huntress. So it's supposed to be set as a chase of finding the huntress and catching her. But the reality is that we see about 200 pages about the Soviet Union front, which had, to be honest, I had nothing to do. I was like, I was skipping those planes. I was like, I don't want to hear about planes. I don't want to hear about the war and the different things. It was just not that exciting. And then we get some part of the chase. We get a little bit about it, but we don't get enough. And I wish we had more of the chase. So it's a good book. It has a, you know, synopsis. Seems like an interesting book. But the reality is, like, it was too long. It was like, I was like, am I done with this book? And I was like, I have 100 more pages to read. The last 10% was when they chase her, when they find her and they capture her. That was actually the good part. But other than that, I was like, you can skip this book. I wish it was better, but you can skip it.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. And within the same author, I'm starting to read The Alice Network. And I'm just like 100 pages in. So other than that, it's basically set in the 1950s and in World War One, and then 1950s, so after World War II. So there's like dual timelines, and it's about this woman who was a spy during World War One, who is now helping a girl looking for her cousin who was missing in World War Two. So there's like some dual timelines. I'm 100 pages in. I think I'm going to, I put it down. I started reading it a few weeks ago and I put it down. So I think I may be putting it down and maybe picking it up later on because I have other books to read. But so far, so good. It's actually a better, I liked it better than The Huntress. That's for sure. So.
Okay. Well, you did a lot of reading.
I did. I did a lot of reading. I think my plans for October is to read psychological thrillers because it's October. So so I got quite a few psychological thrillers to be talking about hopefully next month.
Well, I am going to continue with my theme. So I did zombies for this one. I'm actually going to read a couple of books, I think, related to witches for Ooh. October.
Gosh,
so we'll keep you posted.
I can't wait. So we want to hear what you're currently reading. So come on over to the blog, whattoreadnextblog.com, and share your favorite books that you're reading this month. And we have a new Facebook group where you can connect with fellow readers and get book recommendations, and so you can join us for upcoming virtual book club, which I think is going to launch in November, so you still have time. So to join the book, join the group, just go to whattoreadnextblog.com/Facebook.
And thank you so much, as always, for listening to this podcast. We'll be back in a month with a brand new episode. In the meantime, if you do enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This will help us get the podcast discovered by a whole new audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.